fit for Keith. So I grabbed the duty roster so I know who's doing what. Announcements, of course, you know, Tim was on the road today, so he's heading out to work, so we need to remember him. Debbie's gone, of course. Guessing Cooper's still not feeling well today. But I see one of the waiting and mom coming, so Cooper's still homesick. Nancy's away, let's remember him. Mike Johnson's on for the invitation on Wednesday. Rowan is still home, not feeling well. Of course, Nikki's home. They just thought it best that somebody stayed home with Rowan. It's a good idea. That's very wise of the parents. Of course, Christina was pushing it this morning. We could see that, but we were glad she was out this morning, but she's home this evening. Don't forget the meetings that are going on in Westside this week with I knew his name, Brian Price. I've met him in the past. I've had lunch with him, but I've never heard him speak, but I've heard he does a good job. So I'm going to try to get over there this week. If anybody needs a tag along, just give me a call. I hope to get over sometime this week. And then Caneyville also has a meeting going on this week with David McPherson. Mark will look after the Lord's Supper for those, if there's somebody here that did not have an opportunity this morning. Mark Kaysen. And Jesse's leading us in our song, so turn to number 419, if you lead us. And Tony's not feeling well. How could I forget the T-man? Tony's just, you know, been struggling. He had that back, and we just need to remember him in our prayers, too. Opening prayer tonight, we're going to have Mark Nevins lead us in our opening prayer. And for closing prayer, if we would go ahead and have Mike Johnson lead us in the closing of the prayer. So we're just grateful for everyone out tonight, grateful for visitors, and now we'll turn the time over to Mr. Jesse.
We're 419, Lord, we come before thee now. After this song, we'll be led in our opening prayer. Number 419.
Lord, we come before thee now. At thy feet we humbly bow. Oh, do not our suit disdain. Shall we seek thee, Lord, in vain? Shall we seek thee, Lord, in vain? Lord, on thee our souls depend. In compassion now descend. Fill our hearts with thy rich grace. Tune our lips to sing thy praise. Tune our lips to sing thy praise. In thine own appointed way, now we seek thee, here we say. Lord, we know not how to go, till a blessing thou bestow. Till a blessing thou bestow. Grant that all may seek and find thee a God supremely kind. Heal the sick, the captive free. Let us all rejoice in thee. Let us all rejoice in thee.
Father in heaven, as we come before thy throne this evening, Father, we're being grateful for this day, for the privilege of this prayer to come before thee, to offer our thankfulness for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us this day. Those of the physical realm, Father, we pray that we're good stewards of those that You may use him to benefit not only yourselves, but to lead and to use the spiritual gifts through your son Jesus to expand the kingdom in this location. Forever, Father, for those that are away from us, those that are traveling, to be thy will to return them to a safe trip back to us. For those that have lost loved ones, for the Lewis's family and for the band, we pray that they can glean comfort and strength in thy word and those that they associate with to give them encouragement. Brother Chuck, if you lost a dear friend in the faith, that you too may be strengthened in thy word, but knowing that life is temporary on this side of earth, that we will be judged according to our deeds, that as we have time left on this, that we pray, Father, that our lives will be led in such a way in thy word to give thee not only the glory and honor of being God of our Father, but also that on that judgment day, when the books are open, that we can hear those faithful words, well done. That we may enter into thy heavenly home that you have built for us, and we may sing hymns of praise to thee and worship thee, and to be in the presence of the Almighty. Pray, Father, for the sick in this congregation, those that have mentioned, Bill Tony, Christina. We pray, Father, that you would be with them to restore their health. For others that have facing ongoing health issues, Father, just for the simple sake that the body does wear down over time, and that illnesses and diseases come to this temporal body. And we pray, Father, that we can press on. So mindful, Father, of the young ones that we have, our children, those young families that have started with young ones coming, we pray that all of us may take to heart that we have an awesome responsibility in teaching and training our children. We bring them up in such a way, Father, that as parents that have let our older ones show that they continue to follow the faith, continue to look upon our word and our Christians in their lives so they may reciprocate to their families and to teach them and know that it's an ongoing process. We're also mindful, Father, if that process does stop, that the growth of the church and the apostles of your church will lead us a generation away, because we know in your Old Testament teachings and with the judges that's what's happened, that when sin strikes, that your hand is there to correct it, and it's there to restore it if we repent. Pray, Father, we do look upon our lives and examine in such a way to make those corrections necessary. If we do have sins, Father, to take care of that and to stand justified in our sight. Pray, Father, for this congregation. As we grow, we give you the glory and the honor. We pray that we will have the strength to present thy word in whatever means to others that we come in contact with. We know that we water and plant, we leave it up to thee to increase thy kingdom. Be with us always, Father, in Christ's most holy name.
Yeah. Next song will be number 499. Go to be like thee. Number 499. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of our treasures, Jesus, thy birth. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness.
thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. O, to me like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive the anointing divine. All that I am and have I am bringing, Lord, from this moment all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
Is there anyone this evening that would like to take the Lord's Supper? Let's sing number 622 to help prepare the mind for those that would like to partake. Tell me the story of Jesus, number 622.
Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Clearer than ever I see. story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Can I see the hands of those who need to partake? Our merciful Father who art in heaven, Lord, we humble ourselves before you, thanking you now for this opportunity, again, this first day of the week, to surround this table and to direct our minds back to the time that Christ went to the cross for the sins of mankind. Father, we thank you for this bread, which is a communion with that body. And we pray for the ones who are about to partake of it, they will do so in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We ask this in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Pray. Father, we continue our thanks for this fruit of the vine, which in the Christian is the communion with that blood that was shed upon the cross. Again, we ask that ones who are about to partake of it will do so in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Collection plate that's left up here on the table for anyone who didn't have an opportunity to give this morning and have an opportunity to close the service.
For the lesson, let's sing number 378, just a few more days. Number 378. Just a few more days to be filled with praise and to tell the old, old story. Then when twilight falls and my Savior calls, I shall go to Him in glory. I'll exchange my cross for a starry crown where the gates swing outward never. At His feet I'll lay every burden down, and with Jesus reign forever. Just a few more years with their toil and tears, and the journey will be ended. Then I'll be with Him where the tide of time with eternity is led. Outward never, at His feet I'll lay
every burden down, and with Jesus reign forever.
Song of invitation will be number 613.
Appreciate the prayer tonight, reminding us of things I forgot to announce. Of course, let's not forget Dan and Mallory. Dan's grandmother's passing away. Of course, also with three of our young ladies expecting, we need to remember them. The pregnancies are not easy, not that I can speak from experience, but I hear it can be tough. And so let's remember them at this time. I put a sermon together probably probably 2 months ago, and I've brought it many times and never just got around to preaching it, and I'm not preaching it again tonight. I know with that sermon, I just don't feel it. But this morning, after services, somebody visiting had a question for me, and I answered the question. I said, well, and I'll probably, email you a little bit more to add to the answer. Then I realized I just put a sermon together, so I'm going to preach on it tonight, what the question was that was asked me this morning. And the question was simply, can a Christian really know 100% they're saved? I'll tell you this much, if we can't, we're in trouble because we just sang it. We sing a lot of songs of confidence. Don't look at each other. None of you asked me the questions. None of you, okay? None of you asked me the questions. But, we sing this song, I'll exchange my cross for a starry crown with a gate swing outward never. At his feet I'll lay every burden down with Jesus reign forever. Really? You said that with such, you sang that with such confidence this evening. I mean, can you really be 100% sure that if Jesus were to come back right now, you're ready? Well, let's back up and talk about a few other things. First of all, first thing that kind of comes to my mind within all of that is, can you know if you're lost? I mean, if you can't know you're saved, does that mean you can't know you're lost? I don't even know if I'm lost. Well, if you know you're lost, can you know if you're found? See, that whole idea is a dilemma on both sides. And, of course, since Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. I mean, a person can know if they haven't done that. A person can know if they're in a lost state is the point. You can have that. We can know if people are lost. People say, well, no, Chuck, that's really not the question. The question, they want to know if they can have that confidence. But I want to cover all aspects of this. Can we actually know if other people are lost? Well, there's a lot of times we can't know. We're in fellowship with one another tonight. You don't know if I'm in fellowship with God. I don't know if you're in fellowship with God. I just hope and pray you are. Give each other the benefit of the doubt that we're walking in the light. But I don't know your life. I mean, I drove up to Canada, and the preacher's wife, Laverna, I mean, godly woman, but nobody preached her into heaven. Nobody preached her into heaven. But can godly people have a confidence that they're ready for when death does come knocking? Over in 1 John chapter 4, it tells us in verse 1, he says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they're of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You can know false teaching. If you can't know what truth is, how do you know what error is? It just doesn't make any sense. Now, this whole idea, and I know it tied into a lesson I taught a long time ago, but I remember going to a website, which I do not advise anybody to go to, ex-members. And one of the guys made a blatant lie by saying, one thing about people who go to Church of Christ, they don't even have the confidence whether they're going to heaven or not. I deny that. And he's just not telling the truth. And yet people would eat that up. Oh, yeah, those members of the Church of Christ, they don't even know whether they're going to heaven or not. Their lives are in doubt. It's not true. It's not true. to sit, make a blanket statement like that. But I can't know others are lost. You know, I can't read the minds, but yet by your fruits you shall know them. And if there are people who haven't obeyed the gospel, people say, well, you're telling me I'm lost then. So look, I leave that up to the Lord. You know, and there are times when people will push you and push you and push you where you can finally say, yes! You know, you say, well, that's not your call. You know, if a person says to me, Chuck, I appreciate the verse. I mean, they look at the verse. They say, look, I have not been baptized for the remission of my sins. Are you saying I'm in a lost state? Well, the Word of God says, no, Chuck, I know what the Bible says. I read the verses. I have not done that. Am I in a lost state? Yes, you're in a lost state. Oh, you're God. I'm not God. It's like somebody telling me, look, I read on the books here, Chuck, that if I do 100 miles an hour, here's the penalty. Is that the penalty I'll get? Yeah, that's the penalty you'll get. If that's what the law states. Okay? But I tell people, I don't know your state. I mean, if you're right with the Lord, that's wonderful. I tell people, here's what the Bible teaches. But you can know. And that's the confidence that we have. And just like people know when they're lost. In Acts 2 and verse 38, they were pricked in their heart. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Where'd you get that idea? They have to do something. Well, we heard the sermon. We understand we crucified Jesus. We're in a lost state. We understand that. We get that. Okay, so we're there. Remember, that's the flip side. If you can't know if you're saved, can you know if you're lost? And the answer is, yes, you can know if you're lost. Absolutely, you can know if people are walking in darkness. Matter of fact, how in the world are you going to be able to help people? How are you going to be able to bring them back? Like James chapter 5, if a brother is overtaken in sin, which you are, restore such a one. You've saved a soul from death and covered a multitude of sins. Well, I don't know if my brother's lost. I mean, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. That whole congregation should have known that this brother was in sin. That whole congregation should have disciplined that brother who's caught up in sexual immorality. You can know when somebody's sinning when they're not in a right state, folks. We can know this. People can know. But I'll tell you this much. Having said that, here's where the real danger is before I answer the question. Can I know? Can we know if we're 100% right? Before I actually look at all the passages and deal with that, there's a second aspect that I really want us to think about. Is that there are many people who think they're saved, and they're not. That's real. That's real. You can know if you're lost. But there are people who think they're saved when they're not. And who do you have in mind? Well, just biblical example. You know where I'm going to go with this. I mean, if we just stop and consider, first of all, I'm thinking, well, go to Matthew chapter 6. There's just a lot of examples that you can think of, and I was thinking about this one earlier today. Verse 5 of Matthew 6 says, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. And surely I say to you, they have their reward. There are those who have the wrong kind of thinking. There are those who think that they will be heard for their many words, as Jesus said. They just think that way. We're in Matthew. Look at Matthew 7. I mean, there it is. It's the classic passage to me. It's powerful. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father. But what he said in verse 22 is the key. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? What are you thinking? Are you like the five foolish virgins who knocked on the door and expected the door to open? I mean, did you really think that they were going to open the door and let you in? No, that's what they thought. I mean, you don't knock unless you think you're going to be let in. And there they are. They think they're prepared, but they weren't prepared is the point. There are people who think they're right with the Lord, and they are not. Religious leaders, they're notorious for thinking themselves, Matthew 23, thinking themselves right. And, of course, they take it upon themselves to comfort their followers and say, I'm telling you, you're okay. And many people do that. Many people say that my pastor said I'm okay. Okay. But you know, this Matthew chapter 23, We find these religious leaders at that time in verse 2, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, for they do according to their works. They do not do according to their works, for they say and they do not do. They bind heavy burdens hard to bear, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. A lot of the New Testament, remember? I mean, they accused Jesus of blasphemy. I mean, here is when Judas threw the money back. You know, it's unlawful for us to take that. You're concerned about law and order when you bring false witnesses before the Lord? I mean, they have their own standard of what they justify in their own mind. I won't do that, but I will do this. My point is there are people, many people, who are thinking they're right and they're not. And so when I talk tonight about, in just a few moments, because this is the main part of the lesson, how that we can have the assurance, please don't misunderstand me. Because people can have an assurance that they're going to heaven, but there's conditions upon that. You can have the conditions based upon this, this, and this. But there are a lot of people in this world that are going to be in for a big surprise, and I hope it's none of us. I hope none of us, come judgment day, are going to be surprised to find out that we didn't hear, as Mark said in his prayer, "Well done, that good and faithful servant." I hope none of us are going to be surprised, like, what? I thought I was going. Churches. Whole churches. I know we're going to be judged individually, but whole churches might be surprised. Man, I thought we were going. Revelation chapter 2, they were told to repent. Okay, you tested those who said they were liars, and they found them to be, you know, they said they taught the truth. They said they were apostles, and you found them to be liars. Good. But you left your first love. You don't fix that, you're not going to heaven. You don't repent of that, you're not going to heaven. The whole church can fool themselves. Oh, well, we love each other. We're great. We have parties. We get together all the time. It's wonderful. I just love this group. Yeah, but are you serving God? You can think you're right with God, and you're not. That, the bulletin article, 2 weeks in a row. I'm not going to do it. I've done enough. You know, I told you. I don't want to beat something into the ground. But last week, I did the bulletin article, "A Strong Church is a Liberal Church." And with those number of points, one of the points is liberal in their giving. So I did two articles this week on examining our giving. Could you imagine any of us missing heaven simply because we didn't give as we ought to have given? Can that happen? Yes. You can convince yourself of anything, as I talked about in the lesson. I said, and as you guys know, and from my past preaching on giving, remember, you could tell me exactly how much money you make, and I still can't tell you how much you're to give. That's you. That's you. That's an individual thing. So nowhere in the article was I telling anybody, here's how much you have to give. But we are to give the way the Lord wants us to. Give as we purposed in our heart. You know, I eat out, you know, if I eat out 6 days this week, and I put a dollar in the plate, Chuck, you are fooling yourself if you think you pleased the Lord. Well, I gave it willingly, and I gave it cheerfully. You're fooling yourself. Just like we read about these guys. They thought they're ready for heaven. Folks, we can convince ourselves that we're right with God when we're not. Couples do that. How in the world do you think, or why in the world didn't these people in Acts chapter 5, why didn't they just leave the church? Why didn't they just, I just don't understand. Here's a couple. Just leave the church if you don't want to serve the Lord. Well, we don't want to leave the church. We want to go to heaven. But we also want our money. And so we say in verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid at the apostles' feet. And Peter answered to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? After it sold, was it not in your control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And Ananias, hearing these things, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young man rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later that his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Why did you guys even come back? Well, because we can think that we can be a little bit righteous. Remember, and the Corinthian brethren, they were coming together. Do you understand that? They were continuing to worship God. but they came together for the worse, not for the better. Who does that? Who comes together without 100% effort of sincerity and love and longing to be with the Lord and longing to feed on His Word and enjoying every moment of it? Who doesn't? But there are those who have convinced themselves that they can put forth part of the effort. Remember Malachi? Where have we offended you with our worship? Well, you offered the sick and the blind and the lame, and you're wondering why I should, you know, offer to the governor and see if he's pleased. How can you convince yourself? I need to get off this point, but I want you to understand. But that might cause some people to say, you know what, Chuck, I don't think we can really have that assurance because there's a lot of people out there that have a false assurance. Well, don't let that false hope remove the true hope that you can have. Folks, as God's people, we can sing songs like we just sang. We can have that confidence and longing to be with the Lord. We can have that assurance. And the point is, we can know. So let's just go on a little trip through a lot of different points here. And then I want to spend some time on the conclusion because of really what it does mean to have this confidence. But the Bible just teaches it over and over. But we need to make sure, though. Make sure, folks. Make sure. It was later on my list, but I think it's better to start here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, why am I going to 1 Corinthians chapter 10? Well, because when Paul tells the brethren this in verse 12, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. To me, this is powerful. Can I have the confidence I'm going to heaven? Folks, you can't fall from a place you've never been. You can't fall. So you must have known when you arrived. When did you arrive? When you were born again. And I want you guys to understand something. Being born again, when you're baptized. I remember doing this. I don't know if you guys will remember it. But I did this in a gospel meeting many years ago, and I asked the elders ahead of time. I said, I'm going to teach some false doctrine. Don't panic. Don't throw me out. It's going to be subtle. And maybe if I'd have shut my mouth, maybe they would have missed it. But I just wanted to give them a heads up, just in case. Stop! But I got up in the pulpit, and I talked about it, and I said, just with opening remarks, I said, brethren, it's just wonderful being a Christian, isn't it? I said, wasn't it wonderful when we came up out of the watery graves of baptism? That's the cleanest we had ever been and the cleanest we will ever be. And then I went on and talked about a few more things. And I said, hey, by the way, did you know I taught you false doctrine? They had a lot of puzzled looks on their faces because a lot of people during those comments were going, mm-hmm. And then, mm-hmm. What? What's this cleanest you had ever been? What is that? No. People say, oh, man, I want to get baptized again, man, because I was clean when I came up out of the waters of baptism, man. All my past sins were gone. But folks, take heed lest you fall. But, you know, we know we're not perfect. So I go over to 1 John, and I realize he tells us that in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you realize that our blessed hope that I'm going to be reading about in a moment, our confidence that we have, is based upon the grace of God? Knowing that He is faithful and just to forgive us. I don't have to get baptized over and over, but I'll tell you what, if I didn't get baptized properly and I just got wet, all the prayers in the world aren't going to help. We talked about that this morning, right? The guy heard on the radio, you say this prayer, and your sins are gone. No, it's not there. I can't even talk to God. You understand? I cannot even talk to Him and have my prayers answered. There's one exception to that. If I'm not a Christian and I pray to God, when is He going to listen to me? Cornelius is a perfect example. In my own life, this isn't personal testimony, I'm just telling you a fact. That all I can remember when I was a part of a religious group and I was studying with Christians, even though I thought I was a Christian, which is kind of this lesson. I thought I was right with God. Do you know, all during that time, I can remember walking to the study and walking home. It was about a mile from my house. And I can remember praying to God, I just want the truth. God says, if you seek, you'll find. God will listen. God will help those who are seeking to find it. Okay? That's it. But still in my sins. Till I obeyed the gospel. Now the confidence that we have is knowing that once we're a child of God, it tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in Christ is what? The forgiveness of sin. Folks, when you go to God and you say, God, please forgive me of this, that, the other, and the things that I've left undone that I should have done, and help me to be better, help me to improve. When I truly repent, when I come to God with a broken and contrite heart, when I come to God, you can lift your head with all the confidence in the world that you are right in the sight of God, just like you did the day you came up out of the watery graves of baptism. It's the same. You weren't whiter back then. You weren't cleaner back then. Yes, it was an answer of a good conscience. You can have a clean conscience now. Paul told Timothy about those who had their conscience seared with a hot iron. Those are the ones that are not repenting. They may think that they're right with the Lord, but they're not. Let's look at some things. In Philippians chapter 4, if you would. Philippians chapter 4. Pick it up in verse 4. 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you have the peace that passes all understanding? That's what we're talking about here. It's not an arrogance. I'm going to heaven because I'm so great and wonderful. No, the confidence that we have is because of the Lord. That's where it comes from. If I'm walking by faith, it's based upon this. You and I can have that blessed assurance. If you have doubt, I remember talking with a person one time about their baptism. The religious group they came out of didn't teach baptism for remission of sin. They didn't know whether constant exposure to the truth caused them to think, no, that's why I really did it, or maybe that's what I'm thinking I did, but I'm really not sure. What do you do with doubt? You remove it. We've told people many times. I can think many times of this. Look, if you think your baptism wasn't valid, do something about it. Look, if your first was valid, the second one, not going to make any difference. It won't make any difference. Not going to hurt you. But I'll tell you what, if your first one was invalid, the second, to make sure to have that peace of mind, that conscience, I did the very same thing. I don't know if I ever told you guys that. I'm not talking about when I came out of the Brethren Church, that branch of the Baptist, when I was baptized properly, because there I was baptized to show everybody. I thought you'd get baptized to show people you're already a Christian. But I don't know if I told you that a couple of years after I was converted, I got thinking about my conversion. Now, it could have been all in my head, but I remember, because back then, you know, I think they have a baptistry now, but before it was a feeding trough. We used to use that. You know what a feeding trough is? It's just metal, okay? And my recollection of being baptized was I came up, and when I dried myself off, I faintly remembered, hey, my hair is dry. And so, in the back of my mind, I kept thinking, was I ever immersed? It's just kind of nagging at me. Was I ever buried with Christ? Because, you know, sprinkling's not going to work. Pouring's not going to work. You need to be immersed. You need to be buried. That's what you do with a dead body. You know, if you go to a grave, and, you know, I don't want to be sacrilegious here, but, I mean, if you go to a grave and the hand's sticking up, they're not buried. But they're not. I don't want to be funny, but, I mean, if the hand is sticking up, they're not buried. And so for my peace of mind, I said, I want it done again. Now, people could say, well, Chuck, I kind of remember being there, and I think you went right under. It's kind of your imagination. Folks, we're talking about having confidence, removing all doubt. You put your head on your pillow at night, and you know without a doubt, if Jesus comes back, you have the same sentiments you read over here. Turn to 2 Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy. Listen to this. It's going to remind you of a song. 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know the song as soon as I start reading this. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul says, and for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. I am fully persuaded. Now, not the false hope that we read earlier, where people think they're going to heaven, but they're not. There's going to be a lot of people shocked. A lot of people. This is why we examine ourselves continually, 2 Corinthians 13:5, to see whether we're in the faith. We evaluate every aspect of our life. We're trying to be, am I the best husband I can be? Am I working at that? Am I a good wife? Am I a good dad? Am I developing as a Christian my talents? Am I using my talents? Am I growing? Is my prayer life improving? Is my Bible study habits improving? Am I just improving all around? We set goals. That's what the New Testament is full of Christians setting goals. None of us are perfect. I get that. Do you know what I want to be able to do? And I should be able to do it right now. It's to say what Paul did in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I mean, listen to this. Listen to the words of this man. It's just like you and me. Well, even the apostle. So was Judas, and he died. He's just a man. Paul says in verse 6, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. See, this is me. It's there for me. Not the arrogance because I've earned it, I'm so great and wonderful, but it's there for me because I've been committed myself to him. There's no doubt. There was a lot of sound thinking during this funeral with Laverna. And a lot of us were thinking it, and a lot of us said it. I want to go like that. That might be hard on your mate. It was hard on Brian. They go to church services last Sunday morning. They go out to eat. They come home. He lets her out of the car while he backs in the car. He comes in the house. She's on the floor. Massive heart attack. But a lot of us said, I want to go like that. No pain, no burden, instant death, instant glory. We know it's just a shell. And we long to be with the Lord. Now, it would be sad when I think of if Debbie had to walk in the door and like Brian had to step over her. He thought she just fell. I mean, he was telling me this story, you know, and getting all emotional and stuff. But it's what he preaches all the time. Life is uncertain. It could happen anytime. And I'm sure after lunch, eating with some folks, Lord willing, we'll see you in a couple hours for evening service. We'll see you in a couple hours. Only to never see him again. But there is laid up for me. We have that confidence. I'm not afraid of death in and of itself. We say that over and over because we as God's people can be 100% sure. I like this passage. Well, wow, like this morning and tonight. Time is flying. 2 Peter. We read this. 2 Peter. I'm going to back up a little bit to the familiar parts of this chapter, and then we'll move into more. But look at verse 9. We read about this a lot. How that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with fervent heat, and the earth will be, and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens, a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. There are people that are anxiously waiting for the Lord to come back. And I'm going, you're not ready. Why are you anxiously waiting for the Lord to be? He says, hastening, looking forward, and hastening the coming day of God. Are you? Are you looking for? Are you looking and hastening for the day of the Lord's return? Well, yeah. Well, that you can only say that based upon your confidence, your assurance, because you're walking by faith. It's not just an empty hope, folks. I hope to go to heaven. Are you going? Well, I hope so. Do you have assurance? When you leave here tonight, do you have assurance? It's sad if a child of God cannot have that 100% confidence. I think sometimes they equate that with 100% godly living. No sin. I'm sinless. What? All the promises I read here are based upon the grace of God, the forgiveness of sin. And I'll tell you what. You know what? I'm confident I'm going to heaven. What's that based upon? Number one, years ago I was baptized into Jesus Christ for forgiveness of my sin. After confessing, repenting, and turning and following him, I was baptized into Christ. He added me to his body, the church. And since then, I continue to try to grow, but relying on his forgiveness and try to better myself. And having confidence that my sins and iniquities he remembers no more. He's not holding that against me. There might be people in this world that will hold things against me or you for things that you have done in the past. Even though you told them you're sorry, they still might hold it against you, but God will not if you have forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Our time is about gone, but I want to read this in 1 Peter. This is what it's all about. I want you guys to have this. I want to have this, but I want to make sure I don't fool myself. I don't lie to myself. Hypocrisy isn't going to do it. Just saying that I'm something when I'm not. But genuinely have it, and it brings you that peace that passes all understanding that we're talking about. But Peter talked about this in verse 3 of 1 Peter 1. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." And if that doesn't put a smile on your face, I don't know what will. Rejoicing in hope. We've all witnessed it, those of us that are parents, with our children. Promising children, okay, if you do this, we're going to go. But what child, when the parent tells them, if you clean your room, we're going to go get ice cream. And the sister says, clean your room, we're not going. And the brother goes, I can't wait for them to get home. And she goes, you haven't cleaned your room. Well, we're going to go get ice cream. Trying to convince him, you know, you're not going. There were conditions. But you know what? When you meet those conditions, you have that anticipation of knowing that you're going to receive what was promised to you. God has promised it to you who have obeyed the gospel. But he said, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and on those that, you didn't notice why he said, and on those that have not obeyed the gospel? Because people can know God, know about him, believe in him, but not obey the gospel. So, have that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. But don't we sing that? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine? Do you have that? If you don't leave here without it. Don't leave here without making yourself right with the Lord. Have the confidence in the Lord, in His Word, not in me. I'm not going to say, oh, you're okay, don't worry about it. It's not my place. God says it, believe it, trust in Him. Don't question. That's what will give you peace. So if you're subject to invitation in any way, let it be known as we stand together and sing the song of the Lamb.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move.
Service, thanking you for this day, the time that we've had to assemble together. We pray that the things that we've done, the songs that we've sung, the way that we've sung them, the way that we have worshiped you today has been in accordance with your will and pleasing in your sight. Father, we're so thankful that you've given us that assurance and confidence that if we've obeyed your will and obeyed the gospel and that we live according to your word, that we can have that assurance and confidence of being saved with you after this life is over, and we're thankful for that. Father, we're thankful for all the things that you bless us with materially, but most of all, Heavenly Father, for the spiritual blessings, for those that were mentioned tonight in Chuck's sermon, for Jesus, his willingness to lower himself, to come and give his life for us, and we're sorry that it was our sins that we caused that sacrifice to be necessary. Father, we pray that as we are about to depart from here, as we go out into the world, be with us, give us boldness each day as we live to do those things which are right, to resist the temptation that might be before us to do wrong or to compromise ourselves in our beliefs, and help us to take the gospel to those who are in need of it. Father, we're mindful of those of our number who were mentioned sick, for Christina and Tony, Roland, and others. Heavenly Father, we pray for them. And that you might restore that portion of health that they might need. For those who might be spiritually struggling, we pray for them as well. And Father, we help us to do what we can to strengthen and encourage them. We're mindful of Brother Nathan's prayer earlier. We'll say amen to that. Thank you for mentioning that. We do recognize, Heavenly Father, from time to time, that we do stand and fall short of your word. Forgive us of those things as we do with one another. And we pray for your blessings upon us as we leave here and to bring us back again at the midweek study on Wednesday. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's what they, in my mind, didn't talk about.